Public Safety Budget Conference Committee. We're going to be walking through a spreadsheet, and you should make sure you pay particular attention, because we're going to be making a couple corrections in the spreadsheet as staff walks through it. So who wants to start walking through the spreadsheet? All right. Start. Mr. Walls, you want to start?
Madam Chair, members, if everyone has a spreadsheet, I will start at the top of page one. We are looking at the conference column, which is over on the right-hand side. And we'll begin with the Supreme Court. In the interest of time, I'll try to walk through this fairly quickly, but if someone needs to slow me down, feel free.
And let me just make it clear. We do have an agreement, and it is reflected in this spreadsheet, but there will be some tweaks made to the spreadsheet as we go. So, Mr. Walls.
Madam Chair, beginning in the Supreme Court, we funded the governor's request for salary and health insurance increases and judges' salary increases, net 3% and 3%, but the additional percent in the first year for their share of increased pension costs. We also fund the agency's portion of the pension costs, and the Senate position on data integration and NICS money that was explained earlier today. In civil legal services, we are at the Senate position of $1.25 million. Addition over the base, the governor and the House were originally at $500,000. In the Court of Appeals.
That's per year.
Per year, Mr. Chair. In the Court of Appeals on line 25, the governor's request for salary and health insurance increases. Again, the judges' salaries at 4% and 3%. We included the appeals court judge reimbursement with a 5-year term, and then that position would sunset. And the state, the agency's state share of judges' pension increases. Moving to page 2 for the district courts. Again, the governor's position on employee salary and health insurance increases. The judges, again, at 4% and 3%. We have additional specialty court funding at $875,000 a year increase. And again, the agency's share of judges' pension increases. Moving to the guardian ad litem board, all positions were the same for salary and health insurance increases. And then moving down to tax court, we have the governor's request for $130,000 a year for two additional law clerks, $25,000 a year for continuing education, $6,000 a year for Westlaw access. The tax court judges' salaries are tied by statute to the other judges, and so there is additional money to match the judges' salary increases for the tax court. We also have an additional $25,000 a year for the case management system support costs that was a Senate position. In the Uniform Laws Commission, we have the agency's request in for a base increase and back dues. Moving to page 3, the Board of Judicial Standards, $300,000 for the governor's request for disciplinary matter and a disability hearing. On the Public Defense Board, we have essentially the House position minus $37,000. There was a slight reduction there as part of the agreement. In Public Safety, on line 97, we have the Minnesota School Safety Center with a $100,000 a year reduction from the governor's position, but an increase of, I believe, $150,000 a year from the last Senate position.
Madam Chair.
Senator Dibble.
And we were going to pick up some language on that piece on the School Safety Center, just for some accountability.
Madam Chair, I think we drafted that, but maybe we can have staff do that to just we want to measure, be able to measure their effectiveness. So
one at a time. Representative Kramer.
So I'm not sure, Mr. Dibble, or curious if you could draft something to ensure that we're monitoring what they're doing.
Senator Dibble? Okay.
Madam Chair.
Senator Letts.
Back on the public defense line, while the money is specifically identified
in the employee salary line and the caseload reduction line, there's going to be rider language where the Public Defense Board would report back to the legislature on how they, which categories they spent the funds in, with particular attention to the other lines that are there, the Public Defense Corporation, transcript base, and information technology staffing. And there was, I think, rider language also in there that they would get caught up on transcript bills that are due.
That's correct, Mr. Chair, or Senator Lett. Mr. Walls.
Madam Chair, continuing on the top of page 4 for the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, there will be a change made to the numbers that you see displayed here. Due to a TAILS target that was very restrictive on the committee, we have funded the criminal history system at the numbers you see, the criminal reporting system, the forensic lab equipment staffing, and live scan maintenance all in the first biennium. In the TAILS, because of the restrictive TAILS target, the agency will have to come back and seek the additional money to complete the criminal history system, the criminal reporting system, and to continue the live scan maintenance contracts. So those three items will be deleted in from the TAILS column in future spreadsheets. Mr. Chair, or Madam Chair, continuing on, Fire Marshal.
Senator Dipple.
Thanks, Madam Chair. And I think rather than showing these as general fund, I think we're simply going to appropriate directly from those special revenue funds and pick up the notwithstanding language. And also we're going to pick up that language that was discussed earlier that Representative Paymar and I had worked on around buttoning up the use of the special revenue funds, necessitating then the notwithstanding language to appropriate from those funds, and also the language around understanding when the fund balances are excessive.
Madam Chair, that's correct.
All right. Mr. Walls.
Madam Chair, there were no initiatives in the Fire Marshal. Moving to the bottom of page 4, we include the technical change for the enforcement of pull tab efforts of $250,000 a year from the special revenue fund. That moves us to the top of page 5. In the Office of Justice Programs, we have the governor's request for $1.5 million a year from increase for crime victims assistance grants, $1 million a year increase to youth intervention. Those continue in perpetuity. The community offender reentry program in Duluth is a 2-year program at $100,000 a year. The local grants for sex traffic victim training is a 2-year program, $350,000 a year to Ramsey County. The Juvenile Detention Alternative Initiative grants and the Community Safety De-escalation grants are also 2-year programs at $50,000 a year for each program.
Madam Chair.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And then we had the discussion earlier on YIPA and the 5% of the grants or of the appropriation potentially going to YIPA for the training and the capacity building and the technical support. And
Madam Chair.
Representative Paymar.
We agree to the language.
Thank you.
Mr. Walls.
Madam Chair, the next initiative that was funded is the Peace Officers Board or Post Board. There's $100,000 a year with language that the $100,000 in the first year is tied to the Ramsey County Sex Traffic Victim Training Program. Continuing on to page 6, Private Detectives Board has continued at their base level. The Human Rights Department, we funded the governor's request of a $129,000 a year increase for 2 additional enforcement officers. In the Department of Corrections, there's $1.5 million a year for additional treatment beds.
Madam Chair.
Representative Paymar.
Just so we're clear that we have given the department the prerogative to decide whether they want to use that additional money for chemical dependency or sex offender treatment.
Mr. Walls.
Madam Chair.
Senator Lance.
But also that we would have them report back to us so we get a sense of proportionally how that was spent. We're not tying their hands in any way with regard to specific percentages, but we're anticipating something of a balance.
Mr. Walz.
Madam Chair, continuing on line 207, we include the governor's recommendation for salary and health insurance money that keeps the agency at a 4% vacancy rate. We also include the 3-year repeat sex offender provisions that was in Senate File 1241 and House File 1010. We have removed the House File 142, the fifth degree provisions.
Sorry, Madam Chair.
Senator Latz.
On line 209, the 3-year repeat sex offenders, the agreement was to take the language in the Senate bill, which was the reintroduction of the previous statute, and then we would consider any changes to that those statutory provisions in a subsequent policy session.
Madam Chair, the spreadsheet books the savings for Senate File 976, the early release of nonviolent drug offenders. The MA savings that remain in the Department of Corrections budget for enhancements or vacancy reduction is $502,000 the first year and $2.5 million ongoing. The next four lines just show the impact from the fiscal note. The actual savings to the department from those from that provision, and also the state share transfer of dollars that the Department of Corrections will make to the Department of Human Services. Continuing on to page 7 in the community services area, we have the governor's request for salary and health insurance increases fully funded on line 224. The Community Corrections Act subsidy increase is $1,025,000 per year put on the formula and $200,000 per year to county probation officers. In operations support, we have funded the governor's request for salary and health insurance increases. Madam Chair, moving to sentencing guidelines, we included the governor's request for $300,000 for the sentencing worksheet. On line 249 begins all the totals for the different expenditures in the bill. Moving on to page 8, the conference includes the MinCorps transfer for 2 years of $1.3 million a year to the general fund to fund some needs in the Department of Corrections. The post board provision of the increase of $100,000 has an impact on the general fund of $100,000. The vehicle services account transfer, my understanding, as Mr. Dibble just described, we will strike this provision in the spreadsheet, and that will just be made as a direct appropriation out of the special revenue fund. Madam Chair, moving on to the very last three lines of the spreadsheet, the court technology fee is included at $2 in the original House language. The number reflected in the spreadsheet prior to this was incorrect. The new number reflects the money that will be raised on the existing House language, $761,000 in the first year, $913,000 the second year and ongoing. This would fund court technology. There were two technical fee changes that were included in the governor's bill that I believe were also included and essentially are revenue neutral. Madam Chair, that completes the items in the spreadsheet agreement.
Who is going to do next? Ms. Imperius.
Madam Chair, I will be working off the revisor side by side, starting on page R20, Article 2. Madam Chair and members, on the bottom of page R20 is the court technology fee that Mr. Walz was just explaining. It will be the House language with the current statutory citation that you'll find on line 4.22. The court did suggest some language changes that we will be incorporating with the exception of the additional statutory citations, and this provision will be sunsetted in 5 years. And moving on to the bottom of page R21, you'll see section 2, that is the beginning of the criminal traffic surcharge. Section 2 and section 3 are out. Moving to the bottom of page R23, This is section 4. This is the graduated conciliation court fee. There will be the Senate position, so this will be taken out. Moving on to page R24. Section 5 is the Court of Appeals reimbursement provision. This will be the House position, except there will be a sunset of 5 years. And moving on to section 6, the bond forfeiture penalty, this will be the Senate position, so it will be removed. And then, Madam Chair, I'll move on to Article 3, if that's fine.
Ms. Perry.
Madam Chair and members, Article 3 is the guardian and conservator provision. We will be taking the language found in the Senate Health and Human Service Omnibus Bill. And Madam Chair, Mr. Backus will continue.
Mr. Backus.
Madam Chair and members, I'm continuing on page R35 of the side-by-side. There's a house-only provision on the trunk highway fund appropriation.
Sorry, hold on. R35?
R35.
It's a chance to catch up.
So, Madam Chair, on R35, House Section 8, Trunk Highway Fund Appropriations, that is not in. It's the Senate position on that. Then the next four sections going to the top of R37 are identical provisions, and they are in. Page R37, House Section 13, expansion of the fifth degree criminal sexual conduct felony provision is out. It's the Senate position. House Section 14 on page R37, it is in, but is the introduced version, so it's the Senate file 1241 language, not the House language. Page R38, Senate Section 20, the Civil Legal Services Rider from 2 years ago, it's the Senate position is in. Page R38, House Section 15, Juvenile Justice System Report is in. Page R39, Senate Section 31 on the judicial salary increase. The provision is in with the numbers will be reflective of the spreadsheet.
Madam Chair.
Senator Lantz.
Back on page R38, lines 9.20 to 23, the Senate position, deleting that rider language is also in.
That's correct. Mr. Backus.
And then the final provision on bottom of page R39, the interagency.
There is a final. Senator Backus.
Mr. Backus.
Mr. Backus, sorry.
Okay. The interagency agreement on section 22, the Senate language is in. Then page R40, identical repealers are in. Madam Chair, if I could continue briefly, there are some provisions that aren't reflected here that I want to at least.
Excuse me, we have to go vote.
We're in recess.
I don't care. I just was curious.
Oh my gosh.
She picked up the paint can.
We're trying to find
all the
so
we're
to
take
it.
So.